Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Sunday is Tisha B'Av, and yeah, you know how much I love fasting, not so easy. But Tisha B'Av is an interesting day because although it's about the destruction of the temples, it's also about the internal destruction, and maybe perhaps even more so about the internal destruction of our people. William Kolbrenner, Ronit Eitan, thank you both for joining me once again. Very, very, well, I don't want to say interesting because I use the word too often, firstly, and secondly, because that doesn't really do it justice. Destruction of Israel internally, externally. Who's going to kick off this one?
Good morning, Howard.
Good morning.
We've been really dying to speak to you, speaking metaphorically, because there's just so much going on, and it's really important for us, I think, just to speak about what's happening here. Just on the rabbinic level, you know, there's a famous story of two people or one person who was invited to a meal, and his son or his friend Kamsan, Bar Kamsa, he's not invited. The host throws him out, and that becomes a sign of the internal dissent. But the most important part of the story that's not often told is that there's a rabbi who's sitting there, and out of humility, he doesn't say anything. And that's why it's so important for us when there is so much internal, well, a strife, that we try to find a way of speaking together. You know,
are you saying it's the rabbi's fault?
It always is.
You know, on the other hand, Howard, I did want to mention, you know, one of the yeshivas here now has an AI rabbi, and I think you could be one, right? I think you can make your own rabbi. I'm not sure about that.
Wow.
But and this is very typical of Jews today. It's like we have the real way, and everybody else is wrong. And people do that with such certainty, so that our way is right. These people don't know. One of my friends said about Rav Chaim Brisk, a famous 19th century rabbi, and of course they don't know. And our job, I think, is when things are so difficult and so tough, is to find the language to talk about how we are unified. And instead of saying, oh, they're not part of us, which is basically the religious impulse, is to say, wow, look at these people who are fighting our war. Look at these people who are feeding soldiers. Look at these people who are helping people in the North get their lives back in order. And they don't think of themselves as religious, and I'm not saying that they should, but we can at least recognize that we are unified together in this way. That what we're experiencing internally and then the external stuff, you know, Ronit, what is your take on what's happening today?
I think last week was despair. And I think this week we kind of woke up to a world thinking that we're the villains, right? I mean, that's it. They found a villain and we're it. And I think that was an awakening. Also, I mean, it's like you would think that after the last 2 years almost that we would get used to just this hatred, but it's when you think it can't get worse, it does. Last week for us, I think all of us just kind of didn't look up. You know, we were thinking. I mean, in a way, it's very easy to not take into account what's happening on the outside, because you have, you know, your house, you have your job, you know, you have your day-to-day things, but it sips in. And even though the government tries to tell us constantly, you know, we're doing the right thing, you know, this is just, and it is a just war. Nobody can argue that. But you have these instances of, and you see the world, you know, and the way they are ganging up on us, and we're the villain, like that's it. I mean, that's, there was almost like a stamp of, like in the press in Israel, that what's happening? Like there was a pause where we were just kind of looking around thinking, is this what we are now? I mean, this is how people think of us. It was very disheartening. I mean, it just,
Well, it was interesting because my son, who is not religious at all, lives in Tel Aviv. Him and his wife went to Greece this week. And I said to him, you know, obviously I was trying to be funny, and I think it kind of was, but I said, you know, just make sure that you know, you don't wear your kippah and you don't have, you know, and he said, you know, Dad, for you, that's what I'll do, which was very, very magnanimous of him. But the fact is that I was concerned that him and his wife, and she happens to be Yemenite, so she's quite dark, and he said, like, she'll probably be fine. I'm a little bit more of a problem. But the fact that I was having this conversation with them, and I was doing it in a funny way, but I was actually concerned about them traveling outside of Israel is an absurdity.
Well, you wrote that piece for us for Writing on the Wall for Gal Gun Howard
Yeah,
about,
it's
you know,
true.
tips for Israel for travelers overseas, and now it's become, you know, it's still funny, but I have students also who are traveling to Europe now, people who are seasoned travelers, and they're thinking twice. And I think, Howard, for us, to me, the most alarming thing is that we are beginning to ourselves believe the lies that people are telling about us. We know that things in life, it's not Disney World in Gaza, but we've just seen, and I related to what you said last week when you said, I don't believe any of it. And I suddenly understood what you mean, because when you see this torrent of anti-Semitism and there's no counter argument here in Israel, of course, we see both sides, but you're in South Africa,
We
you just
don't
see
see
that
it.
one side. I understand that, right? So from that point of view, I get it now. You know, of course, the New York Times image, which reminded us of the hospital that was bombed early on. And in 10 minutes, I remember being online, Al Jazeera made the story. They said 500 people were killed, that Israel did it. And it turned out 30 people were killed. Nothing hit the hospital. It wasn't an Israeli missile, it was a Hamas missile.
Islamic
But it
Jihad.
made no difference. And it's just like the Times and the Guardian and the BBC. Once the image is there, the retraction is on page six or whatever, the image does its work. It doesn't make a difference how many retractions there are. And we know it does its work outside,
Right.
but also for
So
us.
that's what I want to talk about is if we take it back to Tisha B'Av, and we say that actually the destruction started from within and then maybe was externalized, what can we do now to change that? Because if we have the power through our own unity and cohesion to or disunity to bring our own destruction, surely the opposite of that must be true. So if we are unified, then we're going to bring healing outside. Take me through that.
Well, I know. See, you know, for Ronit, I know community and unified is a trigger word,
Oh.
and I get it, and I get it, because very frequently what will happen is that people who use the word unity are really interested in coerciveness
Ah.
and having one idea of unity. And I think what we have to do, and for the people of Israel, is understand that our unity comes from our diversity.
Correct.
And that when we become most ourselves, and when we're in interaction with each other, then we have this kind of unity which is not coercive, but it leaves room for others. So I think what do is we try to create a framework and a context where people are expressing themselves and sharing. And as you say, that strength, you know, we, Ronit and I, we run Writing on the Wall in Balagan. We don't do stuff like say, you know, these people are lying, these people are lying, these people are lying, because what we want to do is build for the future. We want to build a language that is suitable for the future that we have so much sacrifice for, and so many have died for.
Right. Renette?
I can't believe that, yeah, that you're being this optimistic. I'm not. You know, I had this discussion with my dad last week, and you know, he's I you know, my family is very interesting. My dad is, you know, right wing. My mom is left wing. I have a Haredi brother who is a chozer betshuva, and he is completely right wing. And then, you know, there's four of us, because we're five kids, who are completely left wing. We live in Tel Aviv. And you know, we were, you know, my dad, I feel bad for him because we gang up on him. You know, we're just like, you know, look. And then, you know, last week we were like, look what's happening. And he's like, I don't think there's something that we can do. We're outnumbered. And that really struck with me. He's like, there is you it's really hard to fight this. And we're at a place, and Tisha B'Av is coming up, and we're thinking, and I was like, you know what? But these are waves. Like, as Jews, it's like it's up and down, up and down. It's just like a slap that we had to understand that it's happening all around, and we just have to be more conscious of it, more aware of it, because we were kind of, before October 7th, we were happy, we were carefree, we were like, oh, and it doesn't, I mean, we're outnumbered, but we just have to remember that it's a tide, it's up and down, and we just have to write this out, because I don't see, I'm sorry, it's hard to fight this now. It's hard at this particular point. Maybe when there's going to be a ceasefire, and like we said last week, we're going to regroup and we're going to see what we can do, then we'll rise up. But right now,
That's bad.
I mean, I'm not very overly optimistic. But please, Howard, tell me that it's going to get better this
Well, I
week, at
think it will
least.
only get better if we give ourselves the permission and the power to do so. I do believe that if we are unified in the real sense of the word, not in the coercion sense of the word, that if we are whole, if we do our jobs, which is to be a tikkun olam, to be a light unto the nations, live the way we are meant to live, I really do believe it will change. We are way over time. It is 8:32. Wishing you both a Shabbat Shalom and a meaningful Tisha B'Av.